Hey everyone, we're fixing to get started. We are doing tonight some coaching. It has to be about self-sabotage. That's what we're talking about tonight. So we are going to break down. I want to get to, if you have your workbook in front of you or if you have your worksheets, we're talking about pages 26, 27, and 29, I believe. Yeah, the motivational triad worksheet and false threats. So let's talk about false threats first, because this is a concept that is newer that I have never really taught to you guys. And I think it's so good, because what it does is it helps you guys understand basically how your brain works. So the motivational triad, in short, is how your brain motivates you to take action. Any kind of action. So a lot of us think that motivation is like a feeling that's like all like, ooh, so good and everything. Motivation is really your willingness to do something. So your brain works on three things. And what it does is it wants to seek some pleasure. It wants to avoid pain. And it wants things to be as easy as possible. So a lot of times what it's doing is it's motivating you to do something easy. If you've been eating a certain way, thinking a certain way, or doing something a certain way for a long time, even if you want to lose weight, even if it is it's making you gain weight, it's to your long-term detriment, the motivational triad's only job is to get you to do something in the moment. So the reason why I taught you this is so that you really understand the idea of like, okay, my brain is going to be naturally wired to find pleasure. So one of the things that I need to do is figure out how to quit talking about food so pleasurably, like I have to have it, you know, it's my comfort. You can't tell a sexy story about it and then expect you to want to give up all the sex. So the first thing is the pleasure. The easy, a lot of you, if I ask you about planning, the way you describe it, it is the hardest thing you've ever done. It's going to take so much time. You have this very unpleasurable story. You make it sound so hard to do, and you're not spending any time rerouting your brain. Think about, well, where is planning actually going to make my life easier, and reteaching your brain how to think about it. So I want you to think about the motivational triad. And one of the things that we want to do is we want to understand how we're already motivating ourselves to do the very things that we don't want to do that are going to make us gain weight and keep us from losing weight, and re-engineer the story to make sure that we are creating stories, thinking about the things that we need to do to lose weight and stuff in a way that's motivating and pleasurable. And it sounds much easier than the shit-tastic way we're describing it and such. And the last real part of this is the pain. So this was super interesting. And I came across this, I was just reading and researching. And one of the things that they talked about was how when we were back in the like cave days, even like we can even come all the way up to the 1800s, y'all, like cave to 1800s, life was hard. It was very dangerous. We needed to be motivated to take action fast. We needed to like be on the lookout for threats all the time. And if you even think about like the Wild Wild West, we were settling the country and stuff. We think that's so long ago. Well, in evolutionary terms, it's like 5 minutes ago. Your brain hasn't changed much. It still thinks that it has to be on the alert for threats. The problem is you have this primitive brain that thinks it needs to be trying to save your life at all times. And because we don't have true life-threatening situations, it creates false threats. We have anxiety and depression. We have these things that come up because our brain is running wild. Like most of us are not sitting around worried that we're going to walk outside and either a real bus is going to run over us, a puma is going to charge out of the bush, or anything like that's going to happen. Like even in the midst of all of this, if you want groceries, you can either have somebody deliver it and you can wipe it down with a bleach wipe, or you can don a mask, put on some gloves, and go on to the grocery store. Our lives are not that threatening. Not in the way that our brain is trying to get us to like motivated to act. So we have to be really careful about letting our brain drum up false threats. I gave you a list of the most common ones, and they are a lot of you are threatened, like your life is in danger, when someone says something about you. You hear some douchebag in line in a grocery store say like, she shouldn't have wore them pants. Your brain is like, oh my God, that's a threat. And it drums up a lot of drama and stuff. You think about it all day long. And guess what? Your brain, if it thinks it's like harmed, it's going to need to find pleasure. And where is it going to go? To food. If you're not really watching this stuff. Worries. Sitting around worrying. I was just in the Facebook group literally 5 minutes ago, coaching a very long thread, extremely long, all about schools. When they come back, kids might not be able to go to a lunchroom and have recess. I'm just going to tell you guys right now, is it unfortunate? Yes. Is it sad? Yes. Can we find research and all kinds of stuff that this is like not the best thing for our kids? Yes. But worrying about it, like you sitting around and worrying between now and then solves anything? Your brain feels really threatened, like the end of the world's happening. 100 years ago, well, maybe 150, kids had to walk through the woods by themselves and beat off bears to go to school. There were certain times of the year my grandmother couldn't go to the schoolhouse because the snakes were out so much. So they didn't let kids walk because they'd probably step on one. That's like legit threat. We're so removed from it that we don't catch ourselves when we are like, if you want to be sad, and you want to do those things, I want you to do it on purpose. But when it turns into worry and angst and an out of control mind, and it's spiraling into, you know, he may not learn as much. And by, you know, what's he going to do? Is he ever going to get into college? When it spirals into the what if shit sandwich, we have a problem. That's called a mismanaged mind. I don't want to take away from any of you feeling bad, feeling sad, or any of that stuff. I just want you to understand why you're doing it. It is not because of what's happening outside of you. It's always because of the things that you're allowing yourself to think and not asking the question, is how I'm thinking about this how I actually want to think about it? Is it useful? Is it helpful for my situation? If I want to be the kind of person who's not eating through their pain every night, what are the useful thoughts and the useless thoughts that I am allowing to run on repeat throughout the day that are feeling like a false threat? If it's not killing me immediately, let me at least write it down and take a look at it and decide what I want to think about it. Let me own if I don't like something, rather than writing down things like in blame, which is the third false threat. It's their fault. They shouldn't have done this. This was a bad decision they made. That's why I feel bad. So blame is a false threat. Anytime you're blaming, you have to get yourself in check. If you're going to end self-sabotage, say, here's why I feel bad. I keep thinking. And like this morning, I was so mad about something, y'all. I just was like, woo, frustrated, mad. I was on the Marco Polo, just wah, 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 with my best friend. And I was saying all these things. And I said, no, this is all me. I said, but you know what? Right now, this is how I want to think about it. I told her like 10 times, I don't want coaching. I know exactly what the problem is. I'm blaming so-and-so. I'm thinking this. I'm thinking that. You know what that did? It changed my model to where my action line became, don't have a conversation until you're no longer blaming. To where you're taking ownership of, you know what? These are the things I don't like. These are the things I probably could just let go of. And I have spent all day long, literally, letting it kind of just go. And I'm not as frustrated And I'm not as angry, because now what I'm doing is I'm really just trying to understand why I'm so upset and what is going to be my personal, like, this is how I'd like it. No, this is legit. Am I ready to be really honest with somebody about something? Because if I'm not willing to be honest with them, why am I so angry? So it's a lot of just thinking. The other way that we have false threats is we're just really hard on ourselves. That's the whole fat girl thing that we did last week. When you're constantly sitting around and judging yourself and talking negatively to yourself, you have to get very aware of it. You have to notice when you're doing it. You have to be willing to redirect. You have to be willing to add something to the end of the conversation. Don't just sit there and bitch that you have it. That's called like being a titty baby. All of you, if you've got some thinking you don't like, quit judging the thinking and start figuring out, what else could I think? What am I going to add on? What's going to be my, like, this sucks, but I'm figuring it out. I've been off plan for 2 months, but today I could probably leave a bite behind every meal to fire up the engine, whatever it is. Today I'm thinking I can't get my shit together. I'm also willing to think there's got to be one thing I can come up with that I can do today. There's no way you'll ever change if you just keep sitting around bemoaning how you think. There is no magic. There is no fairy. There is no nothing that's going to come flying in and take those thoughts away. They're not going any damn where. So you might as well own them and start practicing doing something about them. And get so good at being willing to think new things when you need to and listen to your own shit that you don't care anymore how much it comes up, because you have effective tools to combat it when it comes up. The last one is your future outlook. You have false threats if you keep looking into the future and all you see is shit. How bad it's going to be. How much others are going to suffer. Guys, don't nobody know what's going to happen in the future at any time. We didn't know 6 months ago. We won't know today. We won't know in 6 more months. You know what we get to do? Make a lot of shit up. We get to just assume some shit will work out and make the most of today. How about that? It's way easier to go through life just assuming some stuff will work out. So what's in my control today? Because here's the thing. If you sit and you worry and you think the worst and you prognosticate that, you know, fire and brimstone and the second coming of the good Lord Jesus is happening, all that shit, if none of that happens, you've wasted a lot of time. And then when that stuff doesn't happen, guess what? You're so good at things feeling bad and you needing to feel anxious all the time, then you're like, fuck, I wasted the last 3 months. I wish I hadn't ate through all that. I wish I had just listened. Now I'm just going to guilt and regret myself to death. Because if you have, like, the world says, hey, it's an oyster now, like, we're all fine, you won't have the habit of finding the good in anything. You'll be like, well, that sucks that everything's going to work out. So if it sucks, if I have to feel like it sucks, now I got to go to my past and beat myself up over it. You have to practice where you want your mind to go. That's what self-sabotage is all about. Not practicing where you want your mind to go and then expecting you to just want and be motivated to do something different. I don't give a damn how bad you want to lose weight. It doesn't matter how bad you want to lose weight. Because in the moment that you want to feel bad because of your batshit mind you ain't managing, it won't matter how bad you want to lose weight. You'll want that more in the moment. So we have to start re-engineering everything. So you guys had worksheets on all this. The Uncovering False Threats is an amazing one for all of you who are sitting around right now, dooming and glooming about, you know, next month, the summer, what's going to happen when the kids go back to school, what's going to happen next year. Do that worksheet. I would do it seriously every week until you start figuring out how to get good at uncovering your false threats. It does not mean the world's going to work out, but between now and when whatever's going to happen happens, what if we just show up the best way possible, the least painful way for ourselves possible? If you want to worry your way there, blame your way there, people please, and be terrified of what other people think, have at it. That option's laying there for you. It just sucks. It never feels good. That's why it's not a good option. The other worksheet that I gave you guys is the motivational triad worksheet. I think this one is super valuable for all of you. Now this, like when we do the big public workshop on Saturday, guys, if you're going to come to the public workshop, it is going to be off the hook if they didn't get stuff like this. So you guys are getting like advanced level work. I'm just so excited for all of you. I just can't help myself. Oh my gosh, this workshop's going to be so good. But the motivational triad worksheet, you list two thoughts about journaling and planning. What I did with this one that create pain. What I did with this worksheet is I took the things that you guys most often have a story about that's sabotaging you. I was like, what are the top ones? Because if they can start re-engineering how they think about this, they can tap in to how their brain is wired to motivate them. Because everybody's big question to me is like, how do I end self-sabotage and how do I get motivated? The way you get motivated is by you use the motivational triad. The things you're going to do to lose weight, you have to take pleasure in them, which means in order for you to take pleasure, which is a feeling, you have to think about them in a pleasurable way. It's going to have to feel easy. So in order for it to be easy, you can't sit there and tell yourself how hard it is all the time. You have to start asking yourself, what are easy things that I can do so that I can get the brain motivated? And then avoiding pain is about removing the false threats. You have to notice when you're not believing in yourself, you have to tell yourself, I'm going to figure it out, instead of, it's too hard to figure out. I'll never figure it out. When you catch yourself worrying, you have to remove that. Otherwise, your brain is going to look for a way to alleviate pain. Most of us are having pain every single day that is all created in our brain. Very few of us are actually sitting around with a broke arm, stepping into like bear traps, getting a limb cut off. Some of you might actually have some physical pain, but your thinking around the physical pain is painful. So there's always an opportunity to get yourself out of some pain. So we start using the motivational triad to our advantage. You have to turn it and face it towards the life you want and the things you're going to do to get there. Okay, let's do some coaching. Colleen, am I nervous about tomorrow? Oh, you mean Saturday? No, I'm actually very fired up. Like, I can't wait. I am so prepared. I have everything dialed. I'm just ready. The only thing that makes me nervous literally is tech. We are in the age of tech, but we had, so all of you know, we have been, there's so many things. Let me just give you guys a quick little what's coming. Who is the coach today? Whoever the coach is that's on, will you make sure that at, Kathy, make sure that we edit out this part for the final version, just so that I can do some announcements and stuff. We have been kind of silently leaving little, I don't know, Easter eggs of surprises for you guys to let you know about that we have been upgrading some things. Our internal website is being completely redesigned, and we think it will be live by the middle of June. It is beautiful, it is easy to navigate, and it has a few new features that are going to be happening. The other thing that's happening is we have been upgrading our plumbing. This is the part, you know how like when you watch, you know like if you watch Love It or List It, or you watch Property Brothers, and you always have a budget and for all the beautiful things in your house. And then they tell you, like, you've got, like, I don't know, a foundation crack, and they're going to need to, like, dig up and put down some kind of expensive dirt that you'll never see. Well, we're doing the plumbing of our house. So there are things that we are upgrading on the back end that will make things go faster. There's just all kinds of little things that are going to be happening. So we have had tech people here all day long redoing things, just all kinds of stuff. But we are going under a major overhaul behind the scenes. If you come on Saturday for the ending food sabotage day, you're going to see a sneak peek behind the scenes of some of the new stuff that the people have been doing. So the people who are coming do not know this, but we are going to open the tribe only for the, like, about, like, we're going to end at 3:00. And then I'm going to let people, anybody who's there who wants to join, they'll be able to join between about 3 and 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So you guys don't have to stay, but that first little video that I show, there are clips of what the new website looks like and the new planner. The planner is, like, this close to being finished. It is beautiful. It is the planner. Like, I thought the last version was the planner of my dreams. This is the planner of my dreams. We have asked you guys questions. We have watched you guys for a year. I have put everything in there that I really know will move the needle, and that somebody could literally just get the planner and just get started, and it will ask you the exact right questions every day, and you will not have to know how to do the model to lose the weight. I think the model is super useful. It's still in there, guys, but it makes every single question you'll answer every single day gets that brain going in the exact right direction that you need it to go. And yes, it will still be in PDF printable format for all of you. So don't worry, we're not, you know, you can order it when we get the new ones. The new ones won't be in stock though, probably until July. It takes about 6 to 8 weeks for them to get printed and bound and all that stuff. But the new version, once we get it finalized and ready and off to print, when we get close to release, we'll put it inside the membership. So you'll still be able to print it if you prefer to print it on your own at home. It's just so good. So if you've ordered one recently, or you want to get any, like, if you want to get this version, get it now, because it's going to be about 60 more days before we get the new ones inside the membership. All right. The purse size will come out a little later. We have to get this one done, the big one. And then we have to pull things out of it. So we have to get one going. Then we have to get the purse size going. And then, so that's, like, some of the just neat stuff happening next month, that we're changing some stuff up that's going to make everything so much easier and so much even smoother for you guys. Then if you're out of planner, guys, go ahead and order a new one. It's not going to be released in a week or two. Like, we haven't even gotten it to the printer yet, and they need 6 to 8 weeks to get it printed. It probably won't even get there for another week at least. So don't be sitting around not planning and waiting and all this other stuff. Worst case scenario is you order a planner and you use it for 40 or 45 days and you want the new one. Like, I'd just be like, okay, like, maybe I've ended up overpaying $7. Like, think about what y'all end up doing. A lot of you will be like, I'm going to save some cash, so I'm going to not plan for the next 60 days waiting on the new one, because I know that'll be the fix to all my weight loss. So let me delay one more time. And then guess what? You eat your fucking face off because you ain't planning. Don't do that to yourself. This planner has helped thousands of women lose a butt ton of weight. It will help you too. All right. Who wants to get coached? Raise your hand. Colleen, you're up first. Oh, and then here's the other exciting thing. On Kathy, you can actually release this whole thing into the thing, but when we put it inside the breaking self-sabotage recording, let's just take that part out. We have an exciting announcement next month. Next month, we're going to be doing Chasing Cupcakes, a book study. We've never done a group book study. And the reason why it's so exciting is because we're going to build out an official book study for you guys. And the author herself is going to come. And she's going to do a live chat with me and do a Q&A. If you don't know, Elizabeth Benton weighed 350 pounds, and she is just as sassy as me, wrote an amazing book. I had the 6-day people read the book as homework last November. It is so good. And she's going to come at the end of June and do a big ass call with us. So I was like, yeah, let's do it. So it's exciting. All right, Colleen, tell me all the things I want to know.
My accountability group made me do this.
So. No, they didn't. You know how I know?
Yeah, they did.
They're not standing behind you. They can raise your hand. Just no, tell yourself, my accountability group suggested it, but I pulled the trigger. Okay. This is important for you just to know that you pulled the trigger, because a lot of times we want to say people did things, but that was the only way I would have made it happen. It's like, no, you get to make anything you want to happen because you make a decision.
That's right.
All right, let's do it.
My biggest thing as far as sabotage would be, like, when I'm in the zone, I have to say it, when I'm in the zone, I'm really good. I'm
everybody good. Is.
Okay.
That's called then, normal.
But then, and then people are going to be mad at me for complaining about this, then I lose weight too fast. Like,
no, you don't. That's a story that's probably not helping you.
Okay. So let me tell you my stories and then you can fix me. So that's one of my stories. I lose weight too fast. Like, I can lose like 5 pounds, 6 pounds in a week. And then after a couple weeks, and then the next week might be 2 pounds or whatever. But then I also
you like, basically lose weight like every single person does. The first week usually is a big whoosh because you drop water and stuff. And then you start normalizing out.
Yeah, and that's what I did. Like, January was a big, and okay. And then, so then I tell myself, okay, I'm not eating enough because I'm really zoning in on my plus two. And I'm thinking, well, maybe that's not really plus two. Maybe I'm eating to plus one, like when I'm really zoned in.
Yeah, so now we just like realize that's a lie. So moving on, what's our next problem? You know why you tell yourself that?
So I can eat more?
Yes. This is like not confusing 1 ounce. It's like, well, I'm sitting here getting some results and I would really love to eat more. I know what the problem is. I lose weight fast and I'm probably not eating enough. I should start overeating again.
But my brain is like, I'm not eating enough. So
right. So now that you know that's a problem, is it still a problem? Like, you're complaining like, yeah, but my brain says that. It's like, yeah, I froze. But I was like, no shit, Sherlock. All right. So your problem first is that you're upset that now you know your problem.
Well, and I already told myself that. I already said, like, you're just telling yourself this, but at the same time, I'm afraid, what if I lose too fast and then I rebound and it all comes back? I am so petrified of gaining.
So the surefire way of making sure that you don't lose all your weight and rebound back is to make sure you stop your weight loss now and overeat.
Basically.
Yeah. That's what you just got to see. You just have to see that pattern. Say like, okay, I have two options here. I can stop my weight loss now and just start regaining weight. For fear that I'm going to lose all my weight and regain it. So let's get that now. Or I could lose all of my weight, rework the story I keep telling myself and remind myself, no, that's ridiculous. That's not going to happen. I'm not losing weight too fast. Here's how I know. I only lost 2 pounds this week. That's within the realm of possibility for humans. You have to be willing to continually debunk your story. You can't sit there and expect a story that, one, the payoff is eat whatever I want, two, stop losing weight and not have to worry about all of the fear of regaining later, because that's all that sounds like. I'm going to trade in all that worry about regaining by just giving up now.
I just wish I could, like, continually losing a 1 or 2 pounds a week. And you then can. I feel like,
how do you do that? How do you keep losing 1 to 2 pounds per week?
I eat more than I'm eating whenever I lose a five pounds in a week.
No, if you want to, like, I would just, whatever you think your plus two is, that's where we're at.
But then I lose 5 pounds. Not okay. Every week. And I don't want
to. But that's the thing. Like, you got to remind, see, this is part of the process. Rather than giving up, if you wish to lose 1 to 2 pounds a week, you know what you do? You keep doing what you're doing until your body's losing 1 to 2 pounds a week.
Okay.
Rather than being like, oh my God, every time I start over again, I lose 5 pounds. There must be a problem. It's like, why don't you give it 4 months? See what the trend is. If you're losing 5 pounds every week for 4 months, then come see me.
Well, that's exactly what happened. I'm January baby. So my January was terrific. My February was good. And then I went to Cuba. And then I started gaining a bit, losing. I was up and down like this.
So your whole story's a lie. You just need to tell yourself that. I don't lose too fast.
Because I feel like I rebound on those other weeks. If I lose 5 1 week, it's like, oh my God, I better eat more. So then I either gain or...
What are you going to say? You know that's what exactly is going to happen every single time. Every single time you have a good loss, your brain is going to say, oh my God, you're not eating enough. So now what are you going to do? When it says that, what's going to happen?
Tell myself to be quiet.
Yeah, just say it's ridiculous. Okay. I just had a good week. That's it.
Okay.
If I lose 5 pounds for the next 3 to 4 weeks, if I lose 5 pounds every single week, you know what I know I need to do? Add about 3 more bites to every meal. That's all I got to do.
Yeah.
I'll just make small changes. But you're not making small changes. You're just saying, like, I have problem thoughts. I'm freaking out. And I guess expecting to not have to do any thought work for a different outcome. It's like, no, you have to bet on your brain saying the same stuff, because this is how the brain works. You're going to have a pattern. Your pattern is, I start a diet. I get in my zone because I'm highly motivated. My body likes to drop a lot of water the first week, maybe even 2 weeks. How much weight do you have to lose?
About 60 now.
Exactly. So anybody that has more than 25 pounds will always lose weight really fast the first 2 to 3 weeks if they're just being really mindful and drinking water. And that's because you have a lot of inflammation in your body. The more weight you have, the more inflammation you have. The more inflammation you have from poor eating and, you know, whatever, like however you've been eating, your body stores a fuck ton of water. That's why, like, a lot of our girls that have, like, when I had over 100 pounds to lose, like, I could half-ass try and just drink one bottle of water and drop 5 in a week. And I could keep eating pizza to get it done. If I got in the zone, I remember one time I was probably way over 250. This was in my mid-20s. I literally lost 21 pounds and 25 inches in 3 weeks.
I did that too.
Yeah. And you know what I did? I didn't even eat crazy. I ate healthy. It was just so dramatically different from how I was eating that my body dropped. Like, I bet I had 10 pounds of water on my ass if I had one. So 10 of it went away just right there. So it doesn't, like, you guys get so hung up in these numbers and then you put a lot of thoughts behind it and all this other stuff. And I just want you to think, like, here's my pattern. When I start losing weight, my body likes to release early. But I need to see what it's going to do over 4 months. It's probably going to, like, this will be what's amazing. I can't wait to come back to get coached when you've lost about 25 and then you're bitching that you can only lose 0.5 pound. You're like, oh my God, I lose so slow. I used to think my problem was losing fast, because you'll pay somewhere.
I know.
Because everybody that loses weight eventually gets into, like, yeah, when I look at my history, I lost about 1 pound or 2 a week on average.
Thank you.
You're welcome. No more bullshit.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
The key here is what I want you guys to really pull out of that is she knows that she's going to think these things. And I want you to watch, like when you go back and you watch it, Colleen, I want you to watch how frustrated you are that you think those things. That piece has to get worked on first. You have to be excited and highly motivated that you now know the story you tell yourself and that, oh yeah, and it's not true. Oh yeah, and that's not true. And I'm so glad that I know this now, because if I know it, then I can bet. Like, it's like going to the casino and playing roulette. And like somebody has said, I know where it's going to land, Corinne. Put all your money on 31. Because you know for sure those thoughts are going to come. So now you actually get to bet on yourself. Because when those thoughts come, you know what to say. You know that it's a lie now. You know that it's just something that you do to go off plan. And now you just got to add, all right, I know the thought. Now I got, this is what I'm going to be telling myself. And I need to trigger that thought as much as I can to make sure that I lose my weight. You want to bet on those thoughts, all the money, all the house, guys. All right. Lisa, y'all, I can't hardly see today. I'm just going to tell you, my eyes are irritated. The weather, and they're like burning. And so I don't even have my glasses on. My glasses are even bothering me. Well, Lisa, are you coming? Oh, well, thank you. Look at us. We look like twins.
Well, that's a compliment, but maybe you'll look like me when you're 57.
Also, because I'm doing, y'all, I'm throwing everything I can at this face right now.
Well, it looks pretty.
Thank you.
Corinne, I've been a member since April of 2019. I've lost about 20 pounds with you guys. But before that, I've lost like 100 pounds, a little
over. Oh, wow.
So I'm in maintenance. I've been in maintenance for about 9 months. And I have scale anxiety.
Okay.
Even in maintenance, after all these months and all this time of losing weight, when I get on the scale in the morning, I weigh myself every day.
Okay.
I get on the scale in the morning and I'm like up 3 pounds. Oh my God, I'm gaining all my weight back.
Okay. So are you gaining all your weight back?
Well, I feel like I might.
Well, let me ask you this. When you're up 3 pounds, what do you typically do? So for the last 9 months, I'm assuming this has happened it more than once.
Mm-hmm.
And did you gain all your weight back?
Like, it happens all the time. Sorry.
Okay. So you're not gaining all your weight, but you have plenty of evidence to be like, I am not gaining all my weight back. I know exactly what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you just have that conversation the second that you freak out?
Well, I have that conversation.
Well, good.
Throughout the day, if I'm up, I'm super angry with myself. And
but then you're not having the conversation with yourself.
I think
otherwise you wouldn't be super angry.
Sinking in.
Yeah. So how many times do you think you need to have that conversation then?
1,000 times more.
In a day. Like you have to make being angry with yourself off limits now. It's like, there's no reason to be angry. If I've gained 3 pounds, here's the only thing that has to happen. I need to figure out, is this hormonal, natural, or my mouth? That's all I gotta do. Because, right. Like, I'm going to tell you right now, like, I'm up 5. Guess what happened today? Period time.
Right.
Do you think I immediately went to being angry at myself all day? Like, oh, fuck, I must be gaining all my weight back.
You can blame it on your period.
Yeah, but you can, tell me, every single time did you eat like an asshole?
No.
Right. So, it's what was the cause?
Poop.
Yeah, so you can blame poop, you can blame weather, you can blame it just being a normal blip, you could blame like 4 margaritas, whatever the case is, you get to trace back the 3 pounds to anything. Mm-hmm. But the point is if every single time you gain weight, you get mad at yourself, mm-hmm. you have to see that the problem isn't, like, you're not having the conversation you truly need to have.
That's it. I'm not having the conversation I need to have. So that's where I feel like I need to maybe somehow level up the conversation I'm having with myself, rather than say, no, I'm not gaining all my weight back. I mean, ultimately, yes, that's true. I need to have that conversation. But it's like, that conversation's not working.
Well, it's because it's not enough. You're not, like, the problem that you're having is, that's the antidote to fear.
Yeah.
There's a conversation where you're angry that you're having with yourself. That's a whole different collection of thoughts. Mm-hmm. And so that model and that collection of thoughts now needs its own, what am I going to think instead? Like, I'm not angry at myself. There's mm-hmm. nothing to be angry about. What I really need to be doing is, I just need to figure out what's going on. Mm-hmm. That's what, like, anger is a waste of my time.
Anger is a waste of my energy. Yes, that's true.
But you need to also, though, like, and I advise everybody in maintenance to do this. When you're in maintenance and you're watching the scale, if it's going up, when's the best time to autocorrect?
Right then.
Yeah. So if you notice the scale goes up 3 pounds, like, when I see the scale go up, mm-hmm. I automatically trigger myself to look at my actions for the past few days. Like, okay. Am I grab-assing some food? Am right. I, like, you know, mm-hmm. maybe it's time, like, maybe I haven't been drinking my water, or, you know, there might be something going on. Or, like, if not, like, if everything's dialed, like, I'm like, okay, right. No, everything's really dialed. Then I know it's like, all right, just be patient. Right. Because what drifts up drifts back down too. That's when I'm like, that's because I'm not angry with myself. I'm having a useful dialogue with me and my action line.
It's giving yourself grace, because you know either you did X, Y, and Z, and that's why you're seeing it, or you didn't do X, Y, and Z. And so give yourself some grace and be patient with yourself.
Yeah, I always just think about, like, whenever, like, if, like, let's say that Chris and I go, like, if we go to Vegas or something, I come yeah. back, and, you know, the scale's always going to be up because we usually yeah. drink our way through drink. Vegas, if nothing else. I come home, I always remind myself the scale's going to be up, and we know exactly why. Okay. We were eating and, you know, drinking how we wanted in Vegas, and now we're home, and in a few days, things will start going back down, because here, we're going to just do life. Like, I don't get mad at myself. I don't get worked up, because I know what happens when I judge myself. If I'm judging myself and stuff, I'm going to make it a lot easier to, especially if you've had a couple of days of, like, eating. Mm-hmm. If you judge yourself, it's really easy to talk yourself into one more day of eating just absolutely. To get away from yourself.
Yep. That's what happens. So it's a self-sabotage in a way.
It is. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, the more you guys can sit and really listen to your conversations that you have with yourself and yep. really understand, like, all right, if I'm like, there's never a reason to be angry with myself mm-hmm. about what I weigh, no matter what period you are in your weight loss, the beginning or the end.
Right. Okay.
Being angry at yourself doesn't produce useful dialogue on what are we going to do? How are we solving this? What's the next best action? What is something I'm very willing to do today? Is there nothing to change? Am I just freaking out?
For no reason. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's just, it's like, I know a lot of people freak out on their period when their weight goes up mm-hmm. and they sit and they worry. And then they spend like 3 or 4 days, you know, over checking the scale and stuff. They may be able to get the scale to go down, but they waste 3 days of their life in the process.
Absolutely.
When I can sit and drink water and not think about my weight anymore and just do healthy habits, just as easy as somebody can sit around, drink water, do healthy habits, and beat the fuck out of themselves over it for 3 days.
That's what I do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's so not like when we think about the, like when you think about a model and the result line is our weight, mm-hmm. it's not just our weight. Mm-hmm. I want you guys to start thinking bigger. What is the end goal? To have this weight and to love myself, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. not to get this weight.
No,
like, you know, Once we want all of it.
Yeah, because once you see that number on the scale, that's not, it turns out to start not being good enough after a while. Like you have to have everything else that goes along with it, like living a vibrant life, being physical when I want, you know, being physically fit, feeling good in my body, you know, it's like all those other things. So it's so true. It's like that one number isn't going to be enough forever.
No, so, that's why so many people end up regaining their weight is because they don't end up fixing the relationship with themselves. So if you lose all your weight and the best you've got by the time you get there is terrified of regaining, anxious every time you weigh, worried about everything you put in your mouth and fearing you'll gain your weight.
It sucks.
You're living in hell in a thin body. But in your mind, you were supposed to be so happy. And it's like, where's the fucking happiness? Like, I'm just worried and anxious all the time. Right. And eventually what happens is when you're not getting the happiness from watching the scale go down, you know, because there's a lot of relief in seeing it going down.
Yes.
Seeing the same number day in and day out in that little range gets very boring really fast. You don't have a payoff anymore.
Right.
And eventually, no one gives a shit how much weight you've lost. Everybody knows the thin you, so you're not getting compliments. All of the blips of happy start going away. Then you get used to wearing smaller clothes.
Yes.
Like, it's so erotic when it first happens.
Yeah.
Then after a little while,
it's normal.
You're not going to be able to buy clothes all the time. You're not getting that blip there. So then you're just left with judgment of yourself, fear, worry, and anxiety. Mm-hmm. Then we wonder why we go back to our old patterns of eating.
Exactly. This is me. This is so true. This is so true. Okay.
So I want you identifying all the areas where you're not enjoying your weight loss.
Yeah.
And start writing about how you can start finding pleasure in yourself. How can you start like thinking logically on the scale? Like when you weigh in, I want you to just keep weighing in every day. And I want you to use it as a trigger to bring up your stuff and be like, I want to work on being angry with myself. There's never a reason to be angry. So I want to know what I think that causes anger and what would be a more useful like brain space. I want you to do the same thing about like when you gain some weight and like it brings up fear. I want you to use that as a trigger to talk to yourself about how like, you know what, here's like the ways that we live now that we would never let go no matter what. Even when we are scared about the scale, we love our life so much, it's worth being here. When you start doing that, that's how you start reconstructing you there.
Yes.
Okay.
And when I think about that in my heart, it almost brings tears to my eyes because I do love my life now and I never want to go back. But on those little day in and day out minutes on the scale, it's like you forget the overall joy that you do have from everything that your weight loss has brought.
So. That's why I'm such an advocate of journaling a lot and writing a lot. And I would say at least half of my journal entries are, half of them are about when things aren't going so smooth, but half of my journal entries are about what I want out of life, what I'm loving about my life, what I'm proud of myself for. Like I spend a lot of time in lush thinking about me and about where I'm going and stuff. And I get so much pleasure from that. And it helps me take more pleasure in my life because the more that I'm writing about that stuff, I see it in action during the day when I'm very, it's just too easy to miss it, you know?
Okay.
All right. Get to work.
Thank you so much.
Welcome. Alrighty. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Kathy, we should pull that out. That was a really good scale talk and a really good maintenance talk. And we don't have a ton of those. Amanda, or let's try Licia, because I've been trying to get you. I'm 5 pounds away from Queen's Club, and I've been a member since September. I'm getting frustrated that I'm not there. I know what needs to be done, eating 2 to 2 and following plan, but I don't end up doing it 100% and then feel like I need to be perfect to lose weight. You don't have to be perfect, Katie. You just said it yourself. You don't need to be perfect, but you do need to up the game on it. Like, what is it about eating 2 to 2 that you don't like? What is it about following your plan that you don't like? Make sure that you're talking about it in a way where it's not like, I've got to be perfect in order to lose weight. I'm going to have to do all this to lose weight. like, look for where you're talking about it very, like, browbeater-ish. I'm not sure what's going on with your internet, Lisa, but for some reason I cannot get you up. I've tried a couple times. Okay, I tried it on a different thing. Let's see if this helps. Okay.
Hi.
Hi. All right.
It was my phone. It was being dumb.
That's okay.
All right. I'm getting off here because.
What are we coaching on?
Okay. Hold on. Let me close my door so my kids don't run in here.
Oh, wait. You went mute. There we go. Yeah. Now go.
I've been really stressed lately. I just had a launch and it didn't go as planned. Anyway, so like, I've been following my plan and not having any overeats, writing down what I'm going to eat very clean, exercise, but I'm like stuck. Like my weight's not moving. And I'm starting to think like, oh my gosh, I'm like working so hard and not getting any results. And I'm thinking it's because of the stress that I can't let go of weight because I have hormone issues in the past, but it's like, I don't know what to do.
Are you stress eating?
No.
Okay, so tell me what's happening with your food and everything. So how long have you been stuck?
So this has been going on for a while. Probably.
Like, tell me how long.
I don't know. Almost a year. I keep hearing an echo of myself. I don't know why. It's super annoying. Hold on.
Okay, it's not coming through on this side. So about a year, you've been stalled out. You haven't lost any weight, right?
It's been like on and off, and I had my hormones checked, and I have like issues with my cortisol too high.
But it's been a year, and you haven't lost any weight.
No, I mean like it's been like a few pounds, and then I gain it back. I've always been around the same range.
But that's so we're gonna call that no loss. Okay, we're just gonna call that a zero. I'm just trying to get factual with you.
Okay,
we got to get a fact, or we can't even do a model. All right. So in a year, you've had no overeats. Well, you just muted yourself, honey. Go ahead.
Yes, I did. Of course. Oh, my gosh. I wish I didn't have any overeats.
Okay. So you're not on a stall. It is not stress, and it's not cortisol. Right?
Then I don't know what.
It's overeating. Let me just do this. If I took away every overeat you had for the last year, what would have happened?
I mean, I probably would have lost some weight, but I guess I'm struggling with like the last couple weeks of just very like sticking to the plan and eating really well and not losing any weight and just having this.
Okay, it's been 2 weeks. Are you willing to do that for 3 months?
Yeah, but I feel like I've been doing it for longer.
But you haven't. That's what your brain wants to tell you. Because this is, I want you to listen to your brain. I said, well, yeah, it's been a year and you haven't lost any weight. So if you had no overeats, well, no, that's not true. I said, okay, well, then you go, but you know, in the last 2 weeks, I've been really good and I've not lost anything. So that makes me kind of think that something happened in the week prior to that, or at least the month prior to that, that wasn't glorious weight loss habits.
So I actually, I swear, like I eat very well. Like I don't eat gluten or sugar or dairy. So it's like, I know it's not the food part. Like
it has to be the food part. And you know why?
Why?
Because the only way that you're going to lose weight is to solve the food part. And so you thinking it is something else will slow you down. In the last year, you've probably been thinking it's cortisol and stress and all this other stuff, and you've overate some.
Okay.
I want you to just like set aside your doubts for a moment. Let's just assume I'm right for a minute. And then you can go back to thinking that it's everything else, okay?
Okay.
If you spent the next year with zero overeats, eating to a true 2 to 2, sleeping 7 hours a day, drinking water, and you planned your food what do you think would happen? But you couldn't have an ovary.
I mean, I would probably lose weight. It might be slower than I want, but
right now it's truly slower than you want because you're trying to lose weight blaming stress and cortisol while overeating. Right now it's taken a year to not lose weight. I'm just saying if we spent another year deciding that we were just going all in on it not being stress and cortisol and giving it a whirl, that it could be overeating, so we're just going to eat 2 to 2. I mean, the next year is coming no matter what, right?
Yeah.
So it could be spent overeating or not.
I feel like I don't really overeat it, though. Like, it hasn't even been 2 weeks. I feel like I haven't really overeaten in months. Like, yeah, last year I did.
Right, so tell me in the last months, then. What if it can't be stress? And like, here's the reason why I'm challenging you on this. You can work on your stress in your models and you can lower your stress, right? Because stress is a feeling driven by your thoughts. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do. I just like don't know how to do it. That's what I'm struggling with. Like I can't, like the stress is so overwhelming that I can't seem to.
Stress is not overwhelming. Here's what I want you to tell yourself. I have a lot of thoughts that I haven't identified yet. That's causing my stress. The only reason why it's overwhelming is because I'm not finding the thoughts causing the stress. It's a lot easier to be overwhelmed than it is to find the thoughts that I'm stressing myself out with. There's no one to blame. There's nothing to blame for anything other than I think things. I need to find my thoughts. Like right now you're stressed about the weight and you're thinking about it in a way. The reason why I'm setting you up for this is because let's just imagine that your cortisol levels can't be fixed. You could feel better, but your cortisol just stays elevated.
Well, I guess because I know I have a nutrition degree, so I guess because I know the science of it, it just makes sense to me of why my body's not letting go of weight, even though I'm doing everything right. So that's why I'm like,
but that's another thought you have. I'm doing everything right. And then when I asked you about the last year, you agreed you were overeating. But your brain is stressing you out with the thought, I'm doing everything right.
Well, in the last like few months, obviously not in the last year, but in the last few months, and I still haven't really seen any results.
Okay, so let's just look at what you've done the last few months then. Tell me what you've done the last few months. So you don't do dairy, you don't do gluten. Is that what you said?
Sugar,
okay. Completely. No sugar.
2020. Okay. That was like my 2020 goal.
Okay. Good.
I work out like 6 times a week. So I do strength training.
Okay. How's your water and your sleep?
I drink a lot of water.
Good.
I go to sleep early, but because of like the stress, I think I have like some insomnia. Like I cannot get my thoughts to just shut up and I can't.
Are you journaling every day?
I'm using the planner.
Are you journaling?
I'm trying to, but I'm not that great at like
journaling. So you aren't doing everything right.
And what do you mean by journaling? Like doing the models or writing?
If I was stressed out, let's just pretend Corinne is stressed out. What do you think Corinne would be doing? Sitting around whining about being stressed out? Or do you think Corinne would be journaling the fuck out of her brain every day to figure that out? Because if I thought the only thing that kept weight on my body was stress, which is the easiest thing to fix, because I ain't got to give up no more. Like, I want you to think about you. You have given up sugar. You have given up dairy. You have given up everything in here. Somebody is going like, that's never happening in my world. That's
right.
The hell.
You would think that would be so easy for me to lose weight, but it's not.
No, it's just easy for you to give all that up. You know what's not easy for you to give up? Bullshit stories that stress you out. So now we got to get real good at giving that part up. And that comes through journaling and not sitting around insisting I'm doing everything right. Except for fixing my brain. I'm going to let that little horse run wild. and hope that my cortisol levels come down just naturally. What gives you cortisol? What makes that hormone go buck in your head, in your body? You're a nutritionist. You know the answer.
My thoughts.
Yes. The one thing standing in your way of weight loss is your thoughts that are stressing you out and making you hold weight. And then when you argue, I'm doing everything right. That's the most stressful thought you've got.
Yeah, I guess I just struggle with like juggling the stress and being home now again. Well, I've been home, but my kids are home. Stress.
Y'all probably gonna see my ass because this dress is pretty short. Sorry. You do not have to juggle stress. You need to find one stressful thought at a time and replace it rather than thinking that it's all too hard. Stress is here. Tell me one thing that's stressing you right now.
So I'm a full-time stay-at-home mom again, and I have no time to work on my business because they're really small and it's crazy.
Okay. What are you doing at 5 a.m.?
Waking up and working out and meditating and reading and praying, Jesus, please help me get through this day.
Okay. What if we stopped working out and we worked on our business?
Oh. I feel like if I don't work out, that's like my stress reliever, even though I'm so
not stressed. Really. Do you know how I know it's not relieving your stress?
Yeah. I guess it would, I feel like it'd be so much worse if I didn't work out.
You know what I think might be better? If you worked on your thoughts rather than thinking that exercise is solving it. That's another painful thought. My exercise is solving my stress. When you have clear evidence, it ain't doing jack shit for your stress right now. What if you spent, so you work out 6 days a week? What if you just did 3 days of workouts and 3 days of an hour of solid writing about your stress and reprogramming it? Just for 1 month.
So that's just like doing models on the stress thoughts?
Tell me. Yes.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
When you see journaling?
I have no time is one thought. Which is a lie. You have every morning Lisa time. You're just not giving yourself any credit for it. You're saying I have no time when like... You get to spend an hour a day working out, praying, and whatever your morning ritual is. You're stressing yourself thinking this rather than thinking, I have 1 hour to myself every single day. I make time for myself every single day.
Okay.
Another stressful thought. I'm doing everything right. I would never think that because it stresses me out. It feels very true, but it's not useful. You don't have to say like I'm fucking it all up. But instead of I'm doing everything right, say you could be like I'm figuring out what the next best thing for me would be. There's got to be a solution. That's a whole different mindset than somebody who's like insistent that there's nothing to fix. I really want to lose weight. I really want to not be stressed, but I'm doing everything right. There must be no hope for me. That's what that sentence ends up giving you. No hope.
Yeah.
This is why it's important, like for you. If your food truly is dialed, which I believe it is, and if your true problem is your body is so worked up and so terrified and so stressed that it's like, I can't afford to let her lose weight right now. That would be like sending her out into the woods naked and it's 32 degrees. We're not doing it.
Yeah.
Your body feels very threatened. It's fine. I'm roll with it. I won't even drop an F-bomb.
It's okay. I got my headphones in.
There you go. But you have to, like, really work on your mindset. Your food is bad. You're doing so much stuff right, and you're not giving yourself credit, and you're not giving yourself a chance either.
So if I'm hearing you right, you're saying if I do the thought work and journal my thoughts, that will help me reduce the stress, which then my body will let go of the weight, because right now I'm, like, in flight or fight mode.
I'm going to mute you while she chatters, and I'll tell you. Off the recording. Hang on, I was going to mute you. Sorry. This is what happens. What we'll end up doing when we, I want you to really hear me on this. You're going to spend a lot of time feeling better. A lot of time figuring out how to feel better by cleaning out your brain over and over and over again. The result will be feel better. And maybe the cortisol will release, and maybe the weight will come off. But let me just tell you, let's imagine you don't lose anything, but you're no longer stressed. You're eating the best you've ever ate in your entire life. You're figuring out how to do your business through all of this because you've cleaned up so much of your thinking. You're starting to reorganize and reprioritize and stuff. Your life is just better. Let's at least just go for that. And then if the weight comes off, awesome. If it doesn't, then you know it was never the stress. But in exchange, you get to feel so much fucking better in the process. Then you can be like, all right, next up. If the weight doesn't come down after I've removed my stresses and stuff, maybe I need to relook at my food, rejig some things. Who knows? But you'll feel better. Your kid's cracking me up. We have you on mute, but she is like in the camera. All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I want you doing those models. Like, seriously, make time for it.
So do I just do unintentional and then intentional, like, every morning on, like,
I would,
a few thoughts or all the thoughts? Or
I would pick one. I would, you know, you could do it super simple like this. You could just make a list of things I'm stressed out about today. And, like, list it, it'll be thoughts. There won't be, I want you to just challenge yourself. Even if you have, like, kids are at home, you need to say, that's not stressful. There's lots of people in the world with their kids at home that aren't stressed. So what am I thinking about my children that makes it stressful? Keep challenging yourself, because a lot of times people will say, home with husband. What about that is stressful? So make yourself find your thoughts. I would write them down every day. Here's everything I'm stressed out about right now. And then I would just pick one a day.
Yeah.
I would write, how could I be thinking about it? What can I do about it today? And what could I also be thinking? And then all day long, I want to remind myself, these are the things I'm doing about it today. And here's how I'm thinking about it today.
Okay.
You probably, that exercise we did the last month in April, where we did what's in my control today, would be really good for whatever stressful thought you pick. Mm-hmm. You need to ask yourself, with this, with whatever it is that I find stressful, what's in my control today about this?
Yeah.
There's always something in our control, even if it's just your thinking. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
This is the homework. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. That was what I was like, bye. Oh, I love it. Let's do one more and then we'll get out of here. I'm sweating. Cindy S. Megan, take, like, that question's good. Talking about inflammation, I did an elimination diet with a doctor once and lost 20 pounds. I found out I was sensitive to gluten. I really don't want to live without it, but I think it might be the reason I'm not losing weight. Is this self-sabotage or should I be able to eat it for as long? When, if you're sensitive to it, you need to question why would you want to keep it if it's going, if you're eating something that your body obviously doesn't like. Now, you just need to be honest. Say like, it's because I like the taste. It's because, you know, like I keep thinking I can't live without it. But you also have to say to yourself, and the trade that I make is that if I'm going to eat something that causes inflammation in my body and that my body doesn't like and that it makes me hold weight, that's the trade I make. It's like, you know, I would love to just drink a bottle of wine every single night. I wish that that could happen, but it just can't. One, Merlot grows my ass like a wildfire. And number two, I feel like shit the next day. My body pretty much will let me know if I feel like hell. You know, sometimes just because we like things and we can't imagine our life without it doesn't mean that we can't learn to have an even better life without it. We're not all entitled to be able to drink and eat anything that we want. We have a body and our body decides what's good for it. And you just have to decide if you're going to listen to it or not. Cindy, were you getting coached? You had your hand up. I don't think she meant to. All right. Joni? Hey, Joni.
Hey.
What are we coaching on?
When I was at 220 pounds, I told myself when I lost weight, I would be happy at 150. And then I joined Weight Watchers and they said 150 wasn't good enough. So okay. I got down to my goal weight.
Weight Watchers is always right about everything.
Yeah, I got down to my goal weight and then immediately put back on 15, okay. Back up to 150.
Okay. What do you want to weigh is the question.
I would like to be about 140.
Okay. What are we going to do?
I have been sitting still for about 2 years and I haven't got the momentum to lose the last 15 pounds. Because I'm,
you don't get momentum. What happened? How do you get momentum? Like, I don't have momentum.
I guess I don't understand why I can't even follow a plan that I create myself.
Because you don't want to. This is not a mystery.
Yes.
Tell me why you don't follow your plans. Like, don't act like I don't know why I don't follow the plans I make. Why don't you?
My daughter thinks she's Betty Crocker and wants to cook every night, make cakes and cookies and all that.
All right. It's not your daughter's fault. Tell me why you don't follow your plan. Like, well, it's my daughter's fault. So here's what I want you to do. If it's really her fault, I would like for you to march into the kitchen when we're done with this call and say, you know, you're keeping me overweight. I just want to let you know I blame all this right on you.
No, it's not her fault. I mean,
right.
And I have all good intentions at night when I make my plan. And like last weekend, I'm like, I'm not going to drink at all. And then I drank two margaritas.
Why did you say I'm not drinking at all? What was
because the last couple weekends I've been drinking every weekend.
Okay. But why this weekend was I'm not drinking two margaritas? What was the thought behind it?
I just didn't think I needed the sugar or the calories because I haven't been able to drop any weight. So I figured...
Okay.
Margaritas is pretty
high. You're wondering why you're not motivated. Well, I'm not going to plan margaritas because I can't drop weight. I wonder where my momentum's going to like land this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm kind of hoping that I don't even know why I can't stick to my plans. I talk about them like they're ass and I blame my kid for my weight.
Yeah.
I don't understand why I'm having such a difficult time.
I think... Because I blame my kids and I blame my husband and I put no blame on myself.
You don't need to blame you. Like, guys, we don't blame anything. That's like saying, like, okay, now what I'm going to do is, like, rather than blaming all them, I'm going to, like, tell myself, well, I'm an asshole. How are you going to lose weight? You're going to lose weight by being motivated to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Not by hoping. Not by blaming. Myself or anyone else, and not by sitting around thinking, I can't get my shit together, I'm not drinking margaritas this weekend because, you know, I can't seem to be losing any weight. That's called demotivating yourself and expecting the moment everybody's drinking to be like, I'm all in on that, no drinks.
That's true. I just got so used to being so restricted because of Weight Watchers that I, you know, I feel like when I treat myself, I'm not.
Right. But if you were going to lose weight the way you want, if you were going to lose the last 15 pounds, if you're going to get to 140 the way you want to, what would that look like? Right now you're constructing it in a way in which you don't want to do it.
Yeah. I'm scared. Like if I get down there, I won't be able to have fun because I've dropped down there before. And it's like I instantly start putting on the weight.
But this is the thing. God, would you listen to you? This is what all of you say. I'm going to get down there and I'm not going to be able to have fun.
Yes.
All right. Margaritas, chips, and Betty Crocker, or whatever you said she's doing up in that kitchen. That's not the fun part. What causes fun?
Being in the moment and, you know, feeling good in your nice size 6 jeans.
Thoughts cause fun. Thoughts. It's never the margarita making it fun. It's your thought about a margarita. You know what the fun when we're having a margarita is? Fuck this. I'm not going to be restricted.
Yep.
I'm not going to be deprived. I'm not going by them old Weight Watchers rules.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, that's the thoughts you choose to have. Like, if you decide, like, I'm not going to have margaritas, I'm not going to have chips and Betty Crocker, you could still have fun. You also could include them a little bit less than you are now to get the weight off and still have fun. There's 1,001 ways of doing it. But right now, you're trying to, this action line, you're doing it any way but fun, even when you're having it.
Yes.
Because right now what you're doing is you're doing it with a back-end guilty payoff.
Yep, I regret it.
Right, and you're not, like, having fun when you make the decision. You're relenting. You're giving up in the moment.
Yes.
That's not fun. But you guys have to quit telling yourself that when you do these things, well, this is the fun stuff. This is eating and drinking. It's not the fun stuff. It's not the bad stuff.
That's true.
It's either I'm including it or I'm not. Life is what's fun. So I've got to figure out a way now to start thinking about, like, if I'm going to not drink, what else could be fun about the weekend rather than it's going to really suck because I'm not drinking this weekend. And you have to give equal airtime to it. And then you have to for sure count that the second you show up to the party, you want margaritas. And you have to tell yourself, today, I'm trying to have fun without it. I'm going to be uncomfortable because I'm going to want it, but I'm also going to try to have fun without it. I'm going to try to do both today, be uncomfortable and have some fun. I'm going to see what that looks like.
Okay.
But, like, if you want to lose weight, all of you, if you want to lose the last 15 or the first 15, you have to start thinking about the process and how you want to think about it. I don't care what Weight Watchers told you, what you were learned when you were 12 or whatever. All that old diet mentality does not matter. It's not relevant to the party until it's the only thing you fixate on.
Okay.
You just need to tell yourself, Weight Watchers was wrong.
Yeah, I'm an April baby, so got some time to learn.
Yeah, do models.
Do what models and talk to my accountability group.
Yes. So here's one of the things that a lot of you can do. Put your margaritas and your chips and daughter's bacon. And I don't mean bacon like the pig, baking. I said it like bacon. Put it here. Start deciding how you want to think about it.
Okay.
Not this is the fun part. I can't have these things until I get there. If I have these things now, I'll never get there. I hope to God I can have the fun part at the end. Otherwise, what happens is if you never develop a relationship with this shit, when you add it back in at 140, you've not learned how to have it fun and responsibly. You just start having it because you want the fun, because you've like made yourself miserable to get to where you are.
Yes.
So we want to build a relationship with this stuff now. How do we want to think about this stuff? I always think about all this stuff is, this is part of my weight loss journey. Like, I always think about, like, these are things I can have. I just don't plan them all the time.
True.
Because I promise y'all, y'all stress me out. I'd drink every night if I could. No. Seriously? I think about, like, wine and everything. It's like, it's stuff I enjoy, and the best way to enjoy it is to plan it. Because then I can look forward to it, and then I can enjoy the nights that I don't have it. I get to enjoy being someone who doesn't need it anymore. That's how you start, like, talking about all of this in a very pleasurable way. You start thinking about, oh, I am becoming someone who knows that this is not the fun part of life anymore. The fun part of life is in how I'm thinking about my entire life, including these things. And that is when I start having fun. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Good call. That was a good one.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right. Guys, that's it. Let's call it. Don't forget, Saturday is the big workshop, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Time. You should all have your email. If you do not have an email from us with the link to everything, then you need to run a search on your inbox. Look for support@pnptribe.com. We have a lot of people's emails suddenly started going back in. I'm sure it has something to do with the there's a lot of deliverability problems in a lot of the email providers that on your end and our end now, because of all this stuff that's been going on. Lots of people been getting, like, using email more and blah, blah, blah. So make sure you're looking for the emails, move them to your inbox. Make sure you add us a safe sender. Even if we've been coming to your inbox and you suddenly are not hearing from us, that's, you still have to do those sweeps every now and then. We've also put the link on the main website. We're also putting it in the Facebook group. We've tried to put it every single place we can so that you guys don't miss it. So make sure you check. And then, let's see, I think that's it. I'll see you guys on Saturday. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.